Imagine the surprise when it was revealed that a Taster's Choice selection for best frozen spinach came from China. But the real surprise was that people were surprised. You see, 6 years ago, in 2002, the Congress of the United States passed the Mandatory Country of Origin Labeling Law so that shoppers could make informed choices about the foods they were to consume. But that was 6 years ago, and COOL, as the legislation came to be known, is still not enforced as a law. This leads us to once again ask, should consumers be allowed to know the source of their food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 576th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or, hey, perhaps you're among our friends way up there in Aberdeen as we're tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with Dave Michaels on the boards.
Glad to be here.
And producer Carol Stafford.
Hi, everybody.
Parmley Taff.
Hello.
Folks, Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. So true. Imagine the power of information at the grocery store. When buyers know the source of a food, they have the vote. But when the buyers do not know the source of a food, sellers have the vote. Recently, a very popular grocery chain got a great deal on some frozen spinach and packaged it up under their own trade name. The spinach was a hit and made the grocery chain a lot of money. The grocer had more good deals, like frozen snap peas and fresh whole garlic, but then shoppers discovered that the grocery chain's cheap foods were coming from China, and they stopped buying. Wow, I wonder why. So, Jefferson was right. Information is the currency of democracy. In 2002, the Congress of the United States passed the Mandatory Country of Origin Labeling Law so that shoppers could make informed choices about the foods they were to consume. But there are those who do not want consumers to know about the sources of their food, and they have paid very important people in very high places a lot of money to make certain COOL, as the Country of Origin Labeling Law has come to be known, is not enforced, and it is not enforced. And so once again we ask, should consumers be allowed to know the source of their food? And here today to help us answer that question, we welcome back to the Food Chain Tom Bias, the president of the National Farmers Union. Tom, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be on, Michael.
Let's start us off again. Once again, who is the National Farmers Union?
Well, the National Farmers Union is a 106-year-old organization that was founded around the cooperative movement at the turn of the 20th century, and then designed to get farmers working together to add value to their hard-earned efforts to produce our nation's food. Basically, so farmers and ranchers, those who produce the food, can enjoy in part of the profitability that exists in providing these safe, wholesome products that consumers enjoy. We represent about 250,000 farmers and ranch families around the nation, and we spend a lot of time advocating on behalf of farmers on all kinds of what we call common sense provisions, like country of origin labeling, mm-hmm. and an adequate safety net, and wholesome food, the buy fresh, buy local movement, fair trade as opposed to free trade, etc.
Good, and who pays the way for the National Farmers Union?
Our members pay the way. We're a member-driven.
Mm-hmm.
We're a bottom-up organization.
So it's the 250,000 farmers out there who are really supporting you.
250,000 farm families that that pay our way.
And you're calling in from Washington, D.C. today, right?
I am.
Well, let me ask you this, Tom. It's been 45 episodes of The Food Chain since we last worked together, and when we did work together, we were talking about the 2007 Farm Bill. But there still has been no Farm Bill passed. Also, 6 years ago, in 2002, the Congress of the United States passed the Mandatory Country of Origin Labeling Law, and it still is not being enforced as law. So today, I got to start the program off by asking you, there in Washington, D.C., is our federal government broken down?
Well, I think the federal government gets wrapped up, and the policymakers get wrapped up in partisanship designed to which gets in the way of good government. And I understand partisan elections, and it has to take place.
Is that what is happening? Is that we're in an election year, and that means that it's the Republicans versus the Democrats, and to heck with everything else?
Yeah, it almost becomes a blame game or a credit game on who gets blamed for not getting something good done, or who gets credit if they do get something passed. So it's very difficult and a very competitive process. If you look at the makeup of the current Congress, and it's pretty much a draw. While the Democrats are in power today, the margins are so small that everything becomes so politically competitive for the next election. And, you know, if you just watch what's happening on the presidential campaigns out there, the momentum is definitely on the side of the voters, because people are upset with the way the process works. They think the policymakers ought to be doing the people's business, and they should. They should set aside their partisan differences for the elections, and in between work for the better programs that are going to address the challenges we face in America. And I think that's coming through loud and clear in the elections, and I hope that that carries forward. Because, you know, farm issues or agriculture issues or food issues shouldn't be partisan. They should be working for the best products out there, produced under the best conditions, and we should move forward in that manner, not just letting it get wrapped around the axle in partisanship.
You know that some governments, I guess, are perpetually fighting with each other, we have kind of institutionalized that revolution wherein we vote. You know, we go through this revolution every 4 years, so perhaps it's less contentious than other forms of government, but it certainly does seem contentious these days.
It is.
It's, you know, we look at situations like mandatory country of origin labeling, which has been on the books since 2002. Why is what's the holdup on COOL?
Well, the holdup on COOL is not partisan. It's I don't know who said it first, but the best quote I've ever heard is "Follow the money."
Mm-hmm.
And
that was Deep Throat, of course.
Yeah, right. And there are a lot of people. There's a lot of very big corporations that make a lot of money importing lower quality, less expensive food into this country and selling it to consumers in our grocery stores, and the consumer has no idea where that food came from. And we have been, the Farmers Union has been the lead organization on this for probably 15 years, trying to get mandatory country of origin labeling. And it's a variety of reasons. One, our farmers and ranchers know that the quality of U.S. products is often much higher than our competition. We produce under labor laws and labor provisions that other countries do not. We have environmental laws and environmental practices and conservation practices that other countries do not produce under. And we have food and safety laws that our foreign competition does not have to comply with, or if they do, they do so in name only. And all you have to do is look at what's happened in the past several months with China, whether it's pet food or or
With respect to China, and that's how I opened the show with a supermarket that was getting an especially good deal on its frozen spinach. But they're going to have the Olympics in China this year, and there were some caterers for the United States Olympic Committee that were over there looking at food in a supermarket. He encountered a piece of chicken, half a breast, that measured 14 inches, enough to feed a family of eight. This is a half of a breast of one chicken. And the caterer sent that chicken to be tested, and it found it to be so full of steroids that he could never feed it to the athletes. And I guess maybe that's part of what we're talking about, is some countries can do things differently than we can do them here in the United States, and yet those foods are being fed to us, and so that's why consumers wish to know what is in their food. And I guess that's why some manufacturers don't want us to know. So that is the question today, folks. Do you think consumers should be allowed to know the source of their food? You're invited to join us. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. We have Tom Bias, who's the president of the National Farmers Union. How old?
106 years old.
800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain, What's Eating What Radio. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour. And today we're talking about mandatory country of origin labeling, or COOL. And we have with us Tom Bias, who's the president of the National Farmers Union, a 106-year-old organization of farmers around the country. And we're talking about your food, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phones and join us today. The question, of course, is should consumers be allowed to know the source of their food? Tom, why would you want consumers to know the source of their food? Wouldn't it be more advantageous to manufacturers like the farmers to hold that information to themselves so that they can better manage the marketplace?
Absolutely not. You know, I've never met a farmer in my life that's not proud of the products they produce, and they're willing to put their name on those products. And anyone, I think that's a common attitude you'll find among America farmers, regardless of what type of farmers you are. They take a great care in producing those products. They work hard. They want consumers to know what their products are. And if you're looking at if you want to look at some of the challenges we face, the trade agreements, the free trade agenda has perpetuated this race to the bottom on food prices and food production, going wherever it can be produced the cheapest, regardless of how they treat workers, environment, or health or safety standards. We compete against that. And if the American consumer doesn't know where they're high quality, what's high quality food and what's not, and where it comes from, then we believe that they will choose American produced, better quality, fresher products by knowing where it comes from. And every consumer poll or survey or test that has been done has demonstrated that. The consumers are willing to buy American products if they know where they come from.
Well, you know, Machiavelli tells us in The Prince that leaders should become adept at using the big lie to get the populations to do things. And I have always believed that the great lie, the big lie here used here in the United States, is that we have cheap food. I don't think there is such a thing as cheap food. I think that there's always a cost somewhere in there that's not being paid up front, that somehow is paid elsewhere. And the situation with respect to food manufactured elsewhere in the world that is very cheap is falls into that big lie. It might be cheap at the cash register, but what is in that food? How is it manufactured? And what are we doing by buying that cheap food? I think of the half of a chicken breast that can feed a family of eight because it's so pumped up with steroids that it just, you know, it blew up the chicken.
Right.
And I just keep thinking that as we keep going down this search for cheap food, that we're really heading down a dead end road there, and it's going to cost a lot in the end.
Sure, and how it's produced. You know, you can look at a variety of these products, and you know, you're out of Monterey, and there's a very very big industry of U.S. fishermen who compete on a daily basis with fish raised in captivity. In unsanitary conditions in Asia and China,
right,
and other countries. Well, consumers need to know that, and if they want to make that conscientious decision to purchase those products, that's fine. But without that information, in the case of a lot of these products under country of origin labeling, they're brought into the United States, they're processed in the United States, they get inspected by USDA inspectors.
I think less than 1% of it gets inspected.
Well, even that that gets inspected, when it comes in as a raw commodity and it gets additionally processed, USDA puts their seal of approval on it. And that big blue seal, it says USDA goes on it. In the case of meats, it says USDA grade as well. And for a consumer to walk into that store and they see all these official U.S. labels on there and certification, they assume it's a U.S. product, and it's not.
And that's the fight.
That's a deception.
Let's see what some of our listeners have to say. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson. We're with Tom Bias, president of the National Farmers Union. We're talking about country of origin labeling, or COOL. Should consumers be allowed to know the source of their food? Let's talk with Tina. Tina, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I used to shop at a surf grocery store, I guess is the way of putting it,
mm-hmm.
until you read and it says distributed by, and you really don't know where the stuff comes from. So I stopped shopping there and started shopping more at New Leaf and other local stores.
So shopping local. Tom, when foods are brought into the country from foreign lands and mixed together here and then labeled, are they labeled as products of foreign lands, or are they labeled as how are they labeled?
Well, right now, they're not labeled. That's voluntary unless it's additionally processed or brought in as a processed product. One of the things that we have been able to accomplish in this farm bill, both in the House and Senate, is we clarify that language. And so let's just take an animal was born in Mexico and brought in and raised in the United States. What the industry, what the importers wanted to do was be able to say that was a U.S. product because the bulk of that calf's life was spent in the United States. And we said, whoa, no. The only thing that gets under the new law, which will take effect September of 2008, the only thing that gets a USA label is an animal or a product that is born, raised, processed exclusively in the United States. So if that, in the case of that Mexican calf that comes into this country, they can have a label that says born in Mexico, raised in the United States, and processed in the United States if they want to. But what we want them to be is sort of a truth in labeling as well as country of origin labeling. Let's not just say we can mix these things, because, again, I think that gives the consumer the wrong message.
Well, I got my hands on a packet of honey the other day that said honey, product of United States, China, Afghanistan, North Pole, South, I mean, on and on and on and on and on. And it was just a little packet of single serving honey. And I looked at it and I thought, who knows? It doesn't, right. You know, it, the label means absolutely nothing because it could be honey from anywhere in the world that is just brought together and thrown into a big bucket and stirred up and poured into this little package, I guess.
Right, and that's not the intent. The intent of the laws is to provide that consumer with the exact information of what's going on, so they can make an informed decision.
Tina, consumers
are a lot smarter than the politicians give them credit for.
Tina, when you get information, do you feel powerful?
Yeah, I like the idea of reading what's on our label, where it's made, where it comes from, such as a local dairy up north,
mm-hmm.
and other.
What happens when you don't have information?
I try not to buy it. I mean, I do buy some because you don't have very much of a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I pay a little bit more, and I guess I shop a little less. But I do like the idea of having an idea where my food's coming from.
And that is important to you.
Well, yeah, after the wheat gluten scare was pretty scary. And then you have the spinach, and that happens. But, you know, processed carrots and everything else, it just starts to make you more aware of what you're putting into yourself and what you're feeding your animals and your family.
And that's important.
It's very important to me.
Do you think it's important enough to stand up to those who don't want you to know what's in your food?
Yes.
Okay, good. Tina, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, there it is. Somebody thinks it's important, and when we get back from this break, we're going to talk with Dick. And I have a sneaking suspicion Dick also thinks it's important. What do you think? Is it important for you to know what the source of your food is? Does that make a difference in your life? Or are you happy buying whatever they have to offer, as long as it's cheap? Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. We're talking with Tom Bias, who's the president of the National Farmers Union, a 106-year-old organization of farmers who gathered together to stand up to the powerful forces that go to Washington and buy their way into the world. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, 2002... that would make 6 years ago now, the Congress of the United States passed the mandatory country of origin labeling laws. This law was to give you and I, the consumer, power, information to tell us where our food comes from. And yet powerful forces did not want us to know where our food comes from. And so they went to Washington, D.C., and they paid some very important people some very big money, and consequently, the mandatory country of origin labeling law, or COOL, is not being enforced as a law today, 6 years later. But rumor has it that it may be enforced in September. We don't know, but we just keep asking this question, and we're going to keep asking it until we have the right to know where our food comes from, because we think that is important. Do you think it's important? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Today we're talking with Tom Bias, president of the National Farmers Union. Tom, who is responsible for the safety of our food anyway?
Well, I think it's a combination. You have to have someone, an objective source, that helps level the playing field, because you have all kinds of marketing. You know, you can walk in a grocery store and every other product says healthy or good for
lowers
cholesterol, or et cetera. So what's that objective source? We think it's the federal government. It's one of the roles. They have to be responsible for...
But isn't that the same federal government that has been sitting on the mandatory country of origin labeling law for six years?
Well, it is the same government, but you know, the Congress of the United States and the President can change that, and I think they are going to change it on country of origin labeling. We've got that one covered under two fronts. One, the 2008 appropriations bills that Congress has approved contains a provision, and that's already in the law, that mandates that it began country of origin labeling mandatory on September of 2008. Then the Farm Bill contains other provisions that spells out how they're going to do it. So they can't just say, well, that cow spent 15 minutes in the United States, so that hamburger is going to be labeled U.S. So that's going to happen. We're confident of that.
I'm impressed at your faith in the government, but I don't have that kind of faith, by golly. I want to know where my food comes from, and I want to have a free press that tells me what's going on, where that food is being processed and grown and whatnot. And I want that. I want information. I want the free flow of information. I don't trust the government. I wish I could, but I just can't.
No, I understand, Michael, and you know, we all have our doubts, but it's probably our best shot to make it do it.
And okay.
The laws are going to be written this time on country of origin labeling. We are giving the Department of Agriculture no wiggle room on how to implement this. That was one of the problems in 2002. There was a lot of a vagueness in the law that allowed the Department of Agriculture to come out and propose a rule that was so ugly that it scared everyone to death. And so they used that as an excuse to delay it time after time after time.
And this is the government you want to trust?
Well, if you write it strong enough and you have the right people in power. The other thing that happened, and this was important, and I tell farmers and ranchers, they say, how can I affect the process the most? And I said, the simplest manner, go vote for elected officials. Use the power of the ballot box and have them address the issues that are important to you. And that occurred in 06 when you saw the change in leadership in the House of Representatives.
Right. Well, that to me is the importance of, like Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy, and it's the currency of the marketplace as well. When we have the information about the source of our food, then we can vote
on
how things are done. And that, to me, is I find much more faith in that information than in any government. But what the heck, that's just me. Let's go to see what Dick has to say. Dick, welcome to the Food Chain. You've got Michael Olson and Tom Bias from the National Farmers Union. Go ahead.
Oh, man, I am in so absolute agreement with what both of you are saying. I mean, let's face it, until basically 50 years ago, we knew where our food came from because we lived very close to the source of it.
Boy, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, you think back 50, only 50 years. Only 50 years.
Yeah. Not even really that far, probably only about 30 years ago when international imports of food became such a big deal in this country. And Michael, the proof that there's so much support for this position of knowing what we're eating is the explosive growth of farmers markets all over the country.
Yeah.
I have a nephew back in New Jersey who has a garden and has 50 chickens. And the first year they began to sell produce from that, they made $56. The second year, they made $1,500. This year, from those same 50 chickens and a garden that doesn't measure 100 feet by 200 feet, they made over $5,000 just selling from a stand at the foot of their driveway.
Tom, do you see hope in that?
I do, and I'm glad Dick brought that up because, you know, you can talk about where our food production, how it's shifted over the last few decades, and we've gone from providing people with local, fresh, high-quality, lack of preservative type food to what I call the McDonaldization approach of food. Everything looks the same, tastes the same, costs the same, shipped thousands of miles, and has enough preservatives to last a lifetime. The consumers have called their hand on that, and this buy fresh, buy local movement is the fastest growing sector of the food business, and it's happening for a reason. It's not happening because people don't want the big corporations or to make the money. It's happening because of quality and taste. And there's no person in the world that can argue that the better quality, fresher products, straight from the local community, don't taste better than stuff that's longer and got preservatives.
Well, Dick, let me ask you this. Do you trust a government that will sit on a mandatory of country of origin labeling law for 6 years?
Let's not get into governments and trust. You know, the old saying, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
No, I do not. And I, you know, to continue this thing about your source of food and people wanting to know where their food came from, most people can tell when food has been treated and had additives added to it or has been given hormones because it doesn't digest the same. Their bodies don't feel the same. And there's an instinctive movement away from it if they can get away from it. I mean, I'm just one example of that, Michael.
Okay, thank you for the call, Dick. Well, folks, I should mention that in addition to Tom Bias from the National Farmers Union, we did invite the Grocer Manufacturers of America to join us today in this discussion, but they are very, very busy and do not have time to talk about this issue, and so we'll have to proceed without them. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. As I said, we have Tom Bias from the National Farmers Union with us, and you, of course. Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're talking about the Mandatory Country of Origin Labeling Law, or COOL, that was enacted into law in 2002, and here 6 years later, not in effect today. Do you think you should have the right to know where your food comes from? Right back. So the question of the day is information. Should we be allowed in the information we need to make informed decisions in the food place, in the food chain? Thomas Jefferson said information is the currency of democracy, and that's certainly true when we go shopping. When we know from where our food comes, we have the power over the marketplace. We decide whether we want that food or food grown from someplace else. But when it's just food, for example, it's just frozen spinach, and that's all we know about it, then we have no power over that marketplace. We either buy the spinach or that's that. And so the power goes into the hands of the manufacturer, and we are left without any power. And so when the Mandatory Country of Origin Labeling Law was passed 6 years ago, we thought there was hope that we would have the information, but 6 years later, there is no enforcement of this provision, with the exception of fish, I believe. Isn't that right, Tom?
That's correct.
So that's the only, if there's fish, we have the right to know where that comes from, but that's it. And so we're looking to down the road to where hopefully people like Tom Bias and the National Farmers Union have been going to Washington, D.C. and fighting for the right for you and I to know from where our food comes. And so the question of the day is, should we have this right or should we not? So, Tom, I have a quick question before we go to the boards, which are full of phone callers. Will this country of origin labeling law, should it ever be enforced, make us less competitive in the international marketplace?
No, it will not. It'll make us more competitive. You know, we have a couple of situations, Michael, I'll briefly mention. The BSE outbreak in
bovine spongiform encephalopathy.
Correct. Very good. Well, when that occurred, because a lot of Canadian cattle are brought into the United States and processed, we lost all of our beef exports around the world. Other countries did not want to import it unless we were able to differentiate that product, and we have not gained those back. In fact, it's been a never-ending struggle in order to do so. I think, you know, most of the rest of the world, Europe and Asia, they understand some of these things better than we do. I think oftentimes here in the United States, we take our food for granted, and as long as it's on the grocery store shelves, people don't understand or pay attention to how it's produced, by whom it's produced, and what conditions, and what's in it. So I think I think the American public is catching up, but we have a ways to go yet, and it is certainly would make our products more competitive, not less.
Okay, good. Let's go to the phones. We have a whole bunch of people. We'll start with Bruce, who was a former manager of a food company. Bruce, welcome to the food chain.
Thank you, Michael. Just wanted to bring the level playing field back to that frozen spinach.
Please.
Because, two stores in Santa Cruz that used to sell that spinach, and if they looked on the label, it does say product of China, just for your information.
Oh, it did say product of China.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And the law is if product is produced in those countries and packaged in those countries, it has to have the country of label, you know, country of origin on those packages, mm-hmm. which they do. If you bring that product over here in bulk and put it into a label here in the U.S., they have to put the country of origin on it, and they do. The only problem, the difference really, so that I think that is straight as far as a straight pack vegetable. But you start mixing vegetables,
okay,
like broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, water chestnuts, things of that nature, you could have a number of countries, and there becomes the problem. How would you manage your inventory if you're buying broccoli from Mexico, the U.S., and Guatemala, and your cauliflower?
And with all due respects, isn't this
yes.
a part of the reason why food processors are so frightful of mandatory country of origin labeling? Because it really messes with their ability to, put things in packages.
Yes, because you'd have a lot of different packages with the same product name with many different labels, and then at the end of the season, you'd have a lot of packages you wouldn't be using. There'd be quite a cost involved if you look at all the different frozen products throughout mm-hmm. the U.S. But in straight-pack vegetables, you can be assured that those country of origins would be on the packages, whether they're packaged in the U.S. or overseas.
Well, as you were in the food industry,
yes.
Let me ask you this. Do people read packages? I mean, you're the guy that's making this stuff. Do people actually read the packages?
You're talking about customers, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, we've had consumers talk about that. Yeah, but I wasn't out there checking that. But
mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you had a sense of that. You know.
I think if you put the country of origin on it, it would
make a difference.
People would look at if they're really concerned. Of course, those people are going to be looking for sure. But if you look at the frozen, if you look at the straight pack frozen vegetable like spinach, which you can find today in at least one store in. In fact, that you were talking about, there was some kind of a newspaper article about which one.
Right, right. It was an AP article. It came out of the San Francisco Chronicle that I picked
up. The story you were talking about came in second place. The one that came in first place was from China also, and that can also be bought in Santa Cruz right at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that says a country
of
China package.
Good. Thank you for the call, Bruce. Really appreciate it. Michael Olson here. This is Food Chain Radio. We have a bunch of phone callers we're going to get to right after this break. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're talking with Tom Bias, president of the National Farmers Union, a 160-year-old organization that brings together farmers to fight for their right to succeed in the marketplace. It's a whole different marketplace now than it was 106 years ago, right, Tom?
Absolutely. It changes daily.
A whole different world now. Because now, not only are you competing against the farmer across the road, but you're competing against the farmer on the other side of the world. And that farmer on the other side of the world does not have to play by the same rules that the farmer across the street does. So
right. There
it is, right
Michael,
back.
Michael, I don't know if you have
Hold
time
on, Tom.
Me.
We have to take a quick break.
Okay.
Right back. Welcome back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Tom Bias. We're talking the mandatory country of origin labeling law, or COOL. Tom, you wanted to follow up quickly Bruce's comments. Want to fire away there?
Yeah, well, I think what Bruce pointed out is from the industry perspective on how you manage these labels.
Right.
Good point. However, you know, we heard that same argument when nutrition labeling was required, that it was impossible to do, and now I don't think anyone would back away from nutrition labeling. It's good for consumers. And besides, I think part of the problem is all those products that they're importing, they have a record of them. It's just a matter of reporting it all to the consumer. And they don't want to necessarily go through that step, probably because of the cost.
Yep.
The cost, though, should be minimal.
Very well. Let's go to Linda, or let's go to Jeannie first. Jeannie, welcome to The Food Chain.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you for the call.
Uh-huh. I'm the one that sent you the email a few months ago about the blended juices.
Mm-hmm.
Would the COOL law affect those also?
Blended juices, Tom?
If they're brought into the country and processed, they are already required to be labeled. Now, on processed products, country of origin labeling doesn't address all processed products because current law requires them to report the ingredients.
So, for
I think you must be talking like cranberry juice or.
Well, for example, apple juice concentrate from China mixed with apple or apricot concentrate from Afghanistan.
Right.
How is that labeled?
Well, if it's prepackaged, they're preprocessed and blended over there. It's required to be labeled under current law.
But here,
I don't think it addresses it.
Okay.
And
it's one of the problems. The other problem we have, if I could, is service establishments. Other than the grocery stores, the law won't apply. So
restaurants, you can serve frozen spinach from China, and the law doesn't apply then.
They don't have to. They don't have to label it. It's something that we've tried to get, but the resistance has been very strong from the restaurant sector, because a lot of restaurants would have to change their menus frequently.
Right.
Depending upon where they source it. But I think once we get this law on the books and implemented, that the demand from consumers will force these other changes that need to be made and have needed to be made for years.
Jeannie?
Yeah, because I'd ask the juice companies, and they refuse to even reveal their sources.
Why should they? They don't want you to know.
I know. But so who do we need to write to, call Bombard to get this changed?
Great question.
Call your senators and congressmen and the White House. You know, the big resistance from this in Washington and implementing COOL has been the Bush administration. They've done everything they can to kill it, and most recently in the president's new budget proposal, they even are asking Congress to give them a $10 million to collect user fees to implement country of origin labeling to the tune of $10 million. Well, the president makes a lot of speeches about no new taxes, and he's going to veto anything with new taxes, but it's okay to tax consumers and farmers for COOL in their perspective, which I think is just absolutely not only hypocrisy, but disingenuous, another attempt.
Well, I guess you get the last word. Linda, really quickly.
Sure, and this leads right into my question, which is, have any of the candidates for president expressed an opinion on this issue, or do we know where any of them stand on this issue?
Okay.
Yes, they have. both the major, the two remaining candidates for the Democratic nomination have...
Out of time. Oh, so sorry. Definitely. This has been the Food Chain. So both of them have expressed it, yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Tom Bias. And thank you all for tuning in the Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.